Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Lord Krishna is very much pleased by service rendered to brahmanas, and when the Lord is pleased, the opulence of one's devotional service increases. Purport. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that the younger brahmana rendered service to the older one with the purpose of pleasing Krishna. It is not a matter of ordinary worldly dealings. Krishna is pleased when a Vaishnav is rendered service. Because the younger brahmana served the older one, Lord Gopal agreed to become a witness of the marriage negotiation in order to maintain the prestige of both devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would certainly not have liked to hear about material dealings unless such dealings were exchanged between two Vaishnavas. Marriage arrangements and ceremonies belong to ordinary material karmakanda sections of the scriptures. The Vaishnavas, however, are not interested in any kind of karmakanda dealings. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, karmakanda jnanakanda kevala vishera bhanda. For a Vaishnava, the karmakanda and jnanakanda sections of the Vedas are unnecessary. Indeed, a real Vaishnava takes these sections as a poison pot, vishera bhanda. Sometimes we take part in a marriage ceremony for our disciples, but this does not mean that we are interested in karmakanda activities. Not knowing the Vaishnava philosophy, an outsider criticizes such activity, maintaining that a sannyasi should not take part in a marriage ceremony between a young boy and a young girl. However, this is not a karmakanda activity. Because our purpose is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, we are giving facility to the general populace to take to Krishna consciousness. And in order to fix the devotees in concentration on the service of the Lord, marriage is sometimes allowed. We have experienced that such married couples actually render very important service to the mission. Therefore, one should not misunderstand when a sannyasi takes part in a marriage ceremony. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu took great pleasure in hearing about the marriage ceremony between the young Brahmin and the daughter of the elderly Brahmin. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jenam Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Mukum Karoti Vachalam Bangum Langayate Girim Yadkripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhube Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So begging permission from all the assembled Vaishnavas and all the Vaishnavas listening online, to be able to speak on this transcendental subject matter, although not qualified. So, very interesting verse. This is continuing the pastime of Shakshi Gopal. So the young brahmana was helping the elderly brahmana go on pilgrimage, and because of the services rendered, the elderly brahmana promised the hand of his young daughter in marriage. And this is, the chapter is continuing. And I think Atmanivedana Maharaj, he'll be continuing tomorrow in that talk, giving the Chaitanya Charitamrita class tomorrow. So the verse is, Lord Krishna is very much pleased. Please repeat. Lord Krishna is very much pleased. My service rendered to the Brahmins. And when the Lord is pleased, the opulence of one's devotional service increases. Okay, so Chaitanya Charitamrita is completely full of nectar. Charit, Amrit. What does Amrit mean? It's nectar of the character and pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So I think from Monday, Sutapa Prabhu will be doing in the Srila Prabhupada Darshan Room upstairs, 8-part series of a summary of Chaitanya Charitamrita. What time does it start? 6:30, so okay, we'll put an ad in for that. So yeah, so please, if you can, please come and attend, because Chaitanya Charitamrita is definitely nectar. So today is also like the appearance day of Ganesh. It's called Ganesh Chaturdashi. So before I go into reading some of, like, explaining on more of the purport, I'd just like to read one verse, which is in relationship to Lord Ganesh, because it's Lord Ganesh's appearance day. And generally, Lord Ganesh, he's worshipped when you begin something or to remove obstacles on the path. But some people, they misunderstand, and they just worship Lord Ganesh or other demigods, and they worship them as the supreme. But Lord Ganesh or any other demigod isn't happy with that, because they are confidential and powerful servants of the Supreme Lord. So if we worship them as a devotee to get their blessings, then they are very pleased. So this is a verse from Sri Chaitanya Brahma Samhita. It's 5:50. Yad pada palava yugaya yugam vinidaya kumbha dvandve pranama samaye saganadi raja vignan vihanta malamasya jagatrayasya govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. So this is Lord Brahma, and he's explaining the position of Ganesh. So he says, I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesh upon the pair of tumuli protruding from his elephant head, in order to obtain power for his function of destroying all the obstacles on the path of the of progress of the three worlds. So he's saying, I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesh. So in that verse, it's explaining that actually Ganesh is the servant of Krishna, So actually it's explained that Lord Ganesh, he's worshipped for prosperity and for asking benedictions so that obstacles on the path of one's progress can be removed. So Ganesh is actually a devotee of Lord Nrisingadev. So he gets his power from Lord Nrisingadev. So we worship Lord Nrisingadev every day. So all the demigods, they are actually subservient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even the gopis, they prayed to Katyayani, a form of Durga Devi, to get Krishna as their husband. Or some devotees, they prayed to Lord Shiva, so that they can attain devotion to Krishna. So to approach the demigods, in order for them to receive benedictions to serve Krishna, then that's fine. But if you go to them and you say, oh, you're the supreme, then even they are not pleased, because there are pastimes where they get themselves into trouble and Krishna has to help them out. Like Vrikasura, the pastime of Vrikasura. So the Vrikasura was a big demon, and he was performing a lot of sacrifices, and he wanted a lot of power. So he started to cut flesh from his body and was throwing it in sacrificial fire to try and please Lord Shiva. Then Lord Shiva appeared and said, okay, that's enough, Okay, what do you want, So he said, I want the benediction that whosoever head I touch will burst into 1,000 pieces. So Lord Shiva was thinking, oh, that's, okay, all right, take it, now go, So, but then Vrikasura thought, said, okay, right, I'm going to touch your head. So then Lord Shiva was running, you know. So then he was running, and then Krishna saw Lord Shiva running, and then he said, well, what's happening? He said, oh, I gave this benediction to Vrikasura. Now he wants to use it on me and bust my head. So Krishna said, okay, don't worry, I'll take care of it, you know. So Lord Shiva went, and then the Vrikasura came running. He said, did you see Lord Shiva? Did you see which way he went? And Lord Krishna, as a young child, he said, why are you looking for Lord Shiva? He said, he gave me a benediction, and I want to touch his head and, you know, bust. Then Krishna said to Lord Vrikasura, he said, don't you know, and, you know, everyone knows that Lord Shiva's benedictions don't work, you know. He said, what do you mean? He said, yeah, everybody knows that, you know, his benedictions. He just gives out benedictions here and there, but, you know, they don't work. He said, really? He said, yeah, try to touch your own head and see, you know. So then he touched his own head, and his own head burst into 1,000 pieces. So therefore, Lord Shiva was saved. So then Lord Krishna told Lord Shiva, well, be careful of the benedictions you're giving out, you know. So stories like this, instances like this are, you know, like last time we were talking about Lord Brahma, that, you know, he tried to steal the calves and cowherd boys and put them into illusion. So the demigods are very, very powerful personalities, and they have a lot of opulence and potency, but they're subservient to Krishna. So I think a lot of these pastimes are enacted to enhance the pastime, the leela. So Lord Shiva is actually a transformation of Vishnu. So he has his own abode, which is between like Hari Dham and Devi Dham. So Lord Shiva he's the topmost Vaishnav. You know? I don't think, no, I don't think so. Do you want to try? I wouldn't recommend it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Indra's very powerful, you know. But, you know, he also he gets bewildered sometimes and things. So, yeah, you know, even Lord Shiva is actually... He's actually, if you go to Vrindavan, he's there as Kshetrapal. He's the protector of the holy dham. So he makes sure that nobody enters who's not qualified there. And also Lord Shiva, he wants to take part in the pastimes of Krishna. So he takes a form of a gopi so he can enter the pastimes. You see, because the males are not allowed, you know, in those special pastimes. So anyway, I think Lord Shiva, he is very, very powerful. I wouldn't recommend trying to cross his path or try to, you know, endanger him in any way. So anyway, let's get back to the purport and put the questions at the end. So he's saying Lord Krishna is very much pleased, but I was just reading this about Ganesh because. It's his appearance day today, so we ask blessings from him, so that to help remove obstacles on our path of progress to serving and pleasing Krishna. So Lord Krishna is very much pleased by service rendered to the Brahmins, and when the Lord is pleased, the opulence of one's devotional service increases. So it's explained here that. The younger Brahmin rendered service to the older one with the purpose of pleasing Krishna. It wasn't like sometimes people, they render some service, but they have some motivation, like, oh, you know, I want to you know, try and serve this person, so then I can get something in exchange, something material from that person. But Srila Prabhupada is saying here that the younger Brahman was serving the elderly Brahman to please Krishna. And then it goes on to say that it was not a matter of ordinary worldly dealing. So Krishna is pleased when a Vaishnava is rendered service. So that's so powerful, because there's a nice verse in relationship to that. I'll just find it for you. Can anybody remember any pastime where Lord Krishna himself is rendering, he's serving his devotees? Any pastime? Huh? Sudama, the Brahmin, yeah? Okay, yeah, Sudama came to his house and Krishna sat him on the bedstead and he bathed, washed his feet and offered him worship and everything. And Sam? Yeah. Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur. Who else? Rajasuya sacrifice. Yeah, Krishna, he took the position of washing everyone's feet, right? So he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Any other pastimes? Yeah. Now that pastime of Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot is very beautiful. I was just a few days ago, I was listening to one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures, and he was saying that in South India, I think it's Sri Rangam, when Lord Chaitanya was traveling, he met the South Indian Brahmin. Now this South Indian Brahmin, he was illiterate, you know, he couldn't read or write, but his spiritual master had told him to study the Bhagavad Gita. So all his neighbors were laughing at him and said, "Ah, Brahman, you know, like that. You don't even know how to read, and you got the Bhagavad Gita. You're trying to read it, you know." So they used to joke with him like that. But he was very, very sincere. And Lord Chaitanya saw this Brahman, and Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Oh, my dear Brahman, you're reading Bhagavad Gita." And so this Brahman realized that this personality is not joking with me, but is sincerely inquiring. So then he said, "Well, I'm trying to read it. My spiritual master told me to read it, but I'm illiterate. I don't know how to read." So then Lord Chaitanya noticed that this Brahmin was actually had tears in his eyes. He was with great emotion, you know. So Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, you know, why do you have tears in your eyes when you're looking at this Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Well, I don't know how to read, but I see that this picture, that Krishna, he's the supreme lord of the whole cosmic manifestation. He is serving his devotee Arjuna and becoming his chariot driver, you know." And he said, I'm thinking that how amazing is Krishna that he has so much love that he is so happy to serve his devotees, you know. And because of that, it's giving me great, you know, a deep like affection for the Lord. And it's bringing tears to my eyes. So Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear Brahman, you have understood the Bhagavad Gita." But those people who were laughing at him, who were literate, actually had not understood. So this is a verse from the Adi Purana, and it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita as well, Madhya Lila. Gaura Krishna Prabhu is a pandit. He knows all the verses, you know? So it's ye me bhakta jana patha na me bhakta cha te jana mad bhakta nam cha ye bhakta te me bhakta tama mata. Anybody know that verse? No? It's an interesting verse. Nish, you don't know it? That's quite rare, you don't know something. Okay, so this is from the Adi Purana. It says, Lord Krishna told Arjuna, "Those who are my direct devotees are actually not my devotees, but those who are the devotees of my servant are factually my devotees." So that's really, really powerful. So it's like sometimes, like I remember we were doing one Namhata program in Sheffield, you know, and this person used to come, and he'd been around the devotees for a long time, and he used to say, "Oh, me and Krishna, we are like this, you know, we are buddies, you know." So, but he wasn't so reverential to the devotees, you know. So unless one, according to this verse, you know, so unless one is a devotee of the Lord's devotee, then one is not the devotee, according to the Lord. You know? Like that. So it says, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayo Radas 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 Anudas. You know? So it says, I'm the servant of 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 the Lord of the milkmaids of Raja. You know? Yeah, so... Yeah, so the devotee is not trying to, kind of rise up and think that he is supreme, but he actually is very, very happy in rendering loving transcendental service to the Lord in a very humble and sincere capacity. And that way, one invokes the attention of the Lord and gets the blessings, you know. So, just like it says that to approach Krishna, it's not so easy. You know? But to approach Krishna's devotee, so through that devotee, one can approach the Lord. So, like I gave the example once before. So, if you happen to go down to Buckingham Palace, you know, and then you say, "I've just come to see Lizzie," you know, what are they likely to say to you? Take a walk. Yeah, so... but if you know someone that works at Buckingham Palace, they may be able to arrange that one day you can meet Queen Elizabeth, you know? So similarly, you know, we approach Krishna through the parampara, you know? We approach Krishna through the Vaishnavas, through the spiritual master, to the great acharyas, and that way, that's an authorized process, and then that way we also get the mercy coming down. You know? But some people, they think, "Oh, I'm not interested in the devotee, I'm not interested, I don't need any guru, I don't need any via medium, you know, I go straight to Krishna." You know? So it's not so easy, you know, because if Queen Elizabeth, you know, you can't get in to see her, or Boris Johnson, then I think to go directly to Krishna, not so easy. But when you go through the representative, somebody who's close to that you know, divine person, then it becomes very, very accessible. So there's so many pastimes that explain that, you know, like King Prataparudra, you know. He wasn't going directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was going through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. You know? So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he goes on to say that Krishna is pleased when a Vaishnava is rendered service. So this is a very, very important point. So always, 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 if we can somehow or other get an opportunity and we can make use of the opportunity of rendering service to the Vaishnavas, then a great service is done. You know? That's actually, Krishna is more pleased that way. And says, because the younger Brahman served the older one, Lord Gopal agreed to become a witness of the marriage negotiation in order to maintain the prestige of both devotees. So because the younger Brahman, he was serving the elder Brahman very nicely in the mood to please Krishna, because he was thinking that, you know, if I serve this Brahman who's dear to Krishna, then Krishna is pleased. And because of that, then Lord Gopal, Shakshi Gopal, he decided to be the witness and upheld his vow, you know. So, confirmed, yeah. Yeah. So, it says here that it's talking about marriage ceremonies, and he said, Srila Prabhupada says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would certainly not have liked to hear about marital dealings. Hari Rishi Radha Gokul Ananda Ji Ki Jai. This is Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Rishi Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So he said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would certainly not have liked to hear about marital dealings, especially as a sannyasi. You know, sannyasis, you know, generally they're socially dead because they don't get involved in material activities. But then Srila Prabhupada later goes on to say that he was criticized because he arranged the marriage ceremony of his disciples, you know, young boy and young girl would arrange. So people were, many people were criticizing in India, many smarter Brahmins and so-called, you know, people, learned people were criticizing Prabhupada. Many times they would criticize him, say, oh, you know, why are you giving Brahmin initiation to people from the West, you know, Yavanas, Malechas, you know, people who are from low-class birth. They would criticize that. They would say, why are you letting women stay in the ashram? You know, because traditionally, women weren't allowed to stay in the ashram. And then they were criticizing him for, you know, why is a sannyasi getting involved in marriage ceremonies? So Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is completely transcendental, and he's so expert that he can take the highest teachings and he can execute the highest standard, but according to time, place, circumstance, and candidate, you know. So when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he could realize that, you know, things in the West work slightly differently. So then to be able to make facility for those people to come and take advantage of the process of Krishna consciousness, he very mercifully made all these arrangements. So Srila Prabhupada said there's a difference between karmakanda activity. Karmakanda is just ritualistic activities. People do many rituals, you know. A lot of the reasoning behind those rituals is for material gain, you know, or prosperity. Like sometimes, you know, it's Lakshmi Puja Day. Some people, when it wasn't locked down, would bring their accounts books, you know, and present them in front of the deities, you know. You know, look, you know, the accounts are like this this year. Next year I want it to be better, you know. You know, so, like, you know, some people, they come, they get one for a car blessing, you know. Narayan or Vaishnav, they do sometimes bless their car, you know. I'm not sure if it's a Vedic ceremony or, I don't, but anyway, people, so, and but then sometimes to give a donation to the priest for doing the ceremony, sometimes, you know, they bring a 60,000 pound car and they're giving him fiver, you know. So I said to Narayan, you should charge a percentage of the vehicle, you know, as a dakshina. So, you know, some people, they want some material benefit, you know. They say, okay, you know, I'll do this, but I want this in return. But that's karmakanda, you know. It's basically a business transaction, you know. You know, if you do this, you get this, you know. But here, Srila Prabhupada, he's saying that he arranged the marriage ceremony of his young disciples so that, so he says, sometimes we take part in a marriage ceremony for our disciples, but this does not mean we are interested in karmakanda activities. Sometimes, then he says, however, this is not a karmakanda activity because our purpose is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. We are giving all facility to the general populace to take the Krishna consciousness, and in order to fix the devotees in concentration on the service of the Lord, marriage is sometimes allowed, and we have experienced such married couples actually render very important service to the mission. Therefore, one should not misunderstand when a sannyasi takes part in such ceremonies. So it's very important. So Srila Prabhupada, he was a very practical person, so he would see, okay, you know, there was Mukunda and Janaki, you know, they are young Americans and they are his disciples. So he could see that actually they're not the renunciants, but they're in a stage of life where actually household life is more suited to them, and they can make more progress in their ashram. So then he arranged a ceremony for them to get them married. And then when they were married, they did so much amazing service, you know, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, you know. So many, like six disciples that came to London, you know, they were married, you know. So Srila Prabhupada, he would, whatever was required for his devotees to help them be stable and be steady, so that they could make progress on the path of bhakti, then fine. And then if people criticize it or they praise it, he wasn't worried about it, because he had a higher, a deeper understanding. You know? Otherwise, people are going along and they're just worried about social norms, you know. They're thinking, you know, what will people think if I do this, you know, or what will people think? So one devotee I was preaching to, I was saying to him, you know, try to develop a sense of self, you know. Don't be meditating all the time on what everybody else thinks, you know, of you, you know. You know, will they like this? Will they praise me? Will they know this? And, because it's not everybody else's realization, you know. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote The Science of Self-Realization. Otherwise, if it was everybody else's realization, he would have written a different book. You know? So it's like this. You know, I said, so many people have so many different opinions. You know, so the opinions are like belly buttons. Everyone's got one. You know. So, if we listen to 100 opinions, you know, if we listen to 100 people, we get 100 opinions, and it's very confusing for us. So then I said, you concentrate, you have your, you know, temple authorities, you're doing your service under, you've got your spiritual master, you've got Srila Prabhupada, and all the Vedic teachings are there. So if they are pleased with you, then fine. If other people like it or they don't like it, that's their problem, you know. If they like it, that's good. If they don't like it, too bad. You know, but you're pleasing Guru and Krishna. That's the main thing, you know. So it's like that's very, very powerful. So we should always like be trying to keep that motivation of please Guru and Krishna. And otherwise, the general mass of people will never ever be able to satisfy. So you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. Just not possible, you know. So, but then, if you just get caught in that thing, it's become a people pleaser, you know. So, somewhere along you'll be caught out, you know. And then you won't be pleased, you know. So, anyway, it's very, very nice. So, anyway, so important points are there. So, to render service to the Vaishnavas, to the devotees, such an amazing opportunity. Any opportunity we get, we can render some service, and then Krishna is pleased, you know. So simple to please Krishna, because Krishna loves his devotees, you know. And if we serve and please his devotees, then he becomes very, very pleased, and he gives so much mercy and blessings. You know? I found some other nice verses. There's a lot of nice verses around, so let's move on from that. So it says, in the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, there is an aphorism, asatoma sadgamai, tamasi ma jyotirgamai, mrityur ma mrityurgamai. So it's quite famous, this, especially in India. It means, do not stay in illusion, go to the eternal reality. Do not stay in darkness, go to the light. Do not keep taking material bodies, become immortal. You know? So what does it mean to become immortal? Can anyone tell me? Sorry? Who? Okay. Nitya Ras, can you tell us how to become immortal? I mean, not like Hiranyakashipu was trying, you know? Yeah, try your best to be Krishna. Yeah, try your best to be Krishna consciousness. So, if we follow the process of bhakti wholeheartedly, then we'll gain freedom from the cycle of repetition of birth and death. and we'll have, we can have a, it's Sat Chit Ananda form. That means we'll have, we can go back to the spiritual world and be situated in our eternal spiritual body without having to go through birth and death, and then you become immortal. So he is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human and thus quits this world like the cats and dogs without understanding the science of self-realization. He is a wise Brahmana who leaves this world knowing the solution to life's problems. So, very nice to say. This is from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 3.8.10. So, he is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life. So it's interesting. So Srila Prabhupada said that they claim to have gone to the moon, you know, with the Apollo or the Sputnik or whatever, you know. So then what was the benefit of going to their so-called going to the moon? They said that they brought back some rocks, you know. So if they said we're making real progress. We're sending rockets to other planets, and, you know, we're doing so many, making so much progress. So Prabhupada said that real advancement means solving the real problems. The real problems are birth, old age, disease, and death. You know, those are the real problems. You know, otherwise you bring a few rocks back from the moon, it's not going to solve your problem. So it's a real progress. It's tangible. It's something that actually can free you from suffering altogether. You know. Confirmed. Yeah. Okay. So, we've got some other stuff here. So, the best process for God realization in this age is been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's very, very simple process, you know. Because in this age, he can't give anything too complicated. Because in this day and age, you know, even the basic things are difficult for, you know, people like myself, you know, because the ability to perform austerity and the ability to keep the mind fixed and to, you know, stick with something is very, very difficult. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very, very easy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come in the mood of Sri Chaitanya, of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is so, so merciful, you know. She is so merciful. So her mood is, you know, just give them the mercy, you know. She's a very, very kind, loving mother. She just wants to give the mercy, you know. And so he's taken the golden complexion. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priya. So her complexion is molten gold. And Krishna's complexion was darkish, sham. So when he appears to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself, but he has taken a golden complexion because he's in the mood of Radharani. And Radharani's mood is, give them the mercy, you know, don't worry if they're qualified or not, just give them the mercy. You know, break open the storehouse of love of God and distribute the fruits freely, not considering who's fit or who's unfit. The tidal wave of love of God, you know. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it very easy. He said, okay, just chant Hare Krishna. You know? And it's like Srila Prabhupada, he said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. You know? So it's very, very simple process. But then some people say, oh no, there's got to be more to it than that. You know. So I said, okay, we've got all these books. You can read all these books and then come to the conclusion to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So it's in the Kali Santaran Upanishad, there's a couple of verses which explain something about the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti Shodashak Nam Nam Kali Kalma Shana Anashanam Nata Paratayo Para Sarva Vedesu Dishyate. Oh, enlightenment. Okay. So we needed Sankirtan Priya to enlighten us. So, okay, the 16 words of the Hare Krishna mantra are especially meant for counteracting the sins of the age of Kali, to save oneself from the contamination of this age, there is no alternative but to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. After searching through all the Vedic literatures, one cannot find a method of religion for this age so sublime as the chanting of Hare Krishna. So the question is, who's speaking this verse, these two verses, and who is he speaking it to? Now there's a good one for you. Sam, you know? No? Anyone want to hazard a guess? Sanktam Priya? No? Okay. Okay, it's Lord Brahma, and he's speaking to Narad Muni. So he's saying the 16 words of the Hare Krishna mantra are specially meant for counteracting the sins of the age of Kali. To save oneself from the contamination of this age, there is no alternative but to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So after searching through all the Vedic literatures, one cannot find a method of religion for this age so sublime as the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. Yes, so sometimes people say, oh, why are you always chanting Hare Krishna? Yeah, don't you know any other mantras or any other song? Yeah. So we say we chant Hare Krishna because Lord Brahma told Narad Muni that that's the best method, you know, of this age. So we take his word for it. And actually, not only that, but we like chanting Hare Krishna. So the proof of the pudding is that you can chant Hare Krishna every day for, you know, his whole lifetime and still not get tired of it. That means that shows it's transcendental. Otherwise, if you chant, you know, Coca-Cola or Queen Elizabeth or, you know, something else, then you get, after a very short time, you want to desist because you've got a headache, you know? It's not recommended that you try the other ones. You know? Okay, so then, this is in the Garuda Puran. It's a beautiful verse, and I think we've all heard this verse before, but it's really, really powerful. So when we chant Krishna's name, we get so much benefit. It's like, pff, it cleans the mirror of the heart. All the dust is gone, and we can actually see ourselves as the eternal spirit soul, the servant of Krishna, and be re-established in our loving relationship with Krishna. It's all about relationships. You know? So people in this world want relationships, loving relationships, you know, perfect relationships, and so they're struggling to find that, you know. And people try so hard, you know. But that real loving relationship will be found in relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Lord, you know. Like Prabhupada said, society, friendship, and love. You know, we're running after all these things in the material world. The real loving relationships are not on the material platform. They're in relationship with Krishna and his devotees. You know? So this verse here, it's Om apavitro pavitro va sarva vastam gato piva yatsmaret pundarikaksham savabhayantara suchi. So the translation is either pure or impure, or having passed through all conditions of material life, if one can remember the lotus-eyed Krishna, he becomes externally and internally clean. You know? So, yeah, so I mean, that's so powerful. Just by remembering Krishna, Pundarik Aksha, the lotus-eyed Lord, is that whether one is purified or one is unpurified, one becomes purified and becomes clean. I mean, like, you know, that's a great benediction, you know. People are struggling with so many things. So if they just remember Pundarik Aksha, you know, Gokulananda, you know, then they become purified. It's so, I mean, how much easier do you want them to make it? You know? So it's like, it's amazing. So so this remembrance of Krishna is very, very powerful. And when we are chanting, then all good qualities will come to the living being. So it's almost time to finish. So what was it? Mohan, he wanted to come out because we were going out visiting some congregation members and giving some prasad and just trying to encourage some of them. So Sutapa Prabhu was busy last night, so he told me to take Mohan with me. So we had some interesting thing that happened last night. Well, a few things, actually. It was quite blissful. So we went to one house, and I think it's Donald Fisher and Shuddha Mataji. You may have seen them. They come here regularly before the lockdown. So we thought, okay, you know, they're elderly, and we might as well go and give them some prasad. So they were so surprised to see us, you know. So he said only you and Neela Madhav have ever been to my house, you know, all these years, you know. So we gave him some prasad, and then he said, oh look, you know, on the corner there's another house, there's one family that go to a temple. He said, make sure you give them some prasad and you know, some gifts and things. So, but Shuddha Mataji, she was saying that she was looking for a husband. She said the only qualification that she was asking, she was praying for a good husband. She was saying that I just want a husband that will take me to the temple, you know. So, she did. She got Donald, who's a very good husband, and he brings her to the temple. At least, you know, he's still looking after her. So, Krishna fulfilled her desire, you know? And now he just. And then we went to one other lady. It was Purnamasi. She does pujari service and cooking and stuff like that. So she was so surprised. Knocked on her door. She was so surprised to see us, right? So, and then we gave some mahaprasad, and we gave them some gifts and things. So she was like, she was kind of becoming very emotional. Right? She was almost in tears, you know. She was so happy to see the devotees. Then we went to one other house, and we knocked on the door. Of course, we didn't tell anyone we were coming, you know. So people like surprises, or sometimes they get shocked, you know. It says, what's her name? Sunit and Aditi, you know. So we knocked, you know them. Huh? So we knocked on their door, and then they opened the door and like, oh, they were so surprised to see us, you know. And we had. You know, sometimes in the morning, devotees don't want to take all the rubbery, you know, because they had so much other prasadam. So any rubbery that was left, I put into containers and some rasgullas, and had a few mangal arati sweets. Let's just give them out, you know. We don't want all the devotees in house to become diabetics. You know? So, but also it's nice to give the mercy. You know? So we knocked on the door, and then she opened the door like, oh, I'm so surprised to see us, and then. And I said, oh, we just dropped by to give some prasad, you know, and thank you for all your services. And the husband said, you won't believe this. Just a couple of minutes before, the wife said to the husband, you know, I fancy something sweet. So she said, maybe we'll make some halwa, you know. And then we knocked on the door. And here we are with some rasgullas, some rubbery, and some mangalati sweets. It was like, oh my Krishna, you know. She's like, this Krishna is so amazing, you know. She's saying, like, Krishna is so amazing. And she also said another thing that happened at Janmashtami time, that she's not so expert with the booking system, you know, or the online booking system. So she was trying to book some day, but she booked the wrong day by mistake. And that was the day that her husband, he couldn't go because he was working till late. So anyway, but then what happened, that was actually Janmashtami day. So her husband was supposed to work late into the night, you know, maybe till midnight or later, because he works shift work. But then what happened, where the husband was working, the boss said, okay, you know, he said, okay, you know what, we've done enough for today, why don't you go home early? So then he came back, and she said, look, by mistake I booked this day at this time. So then they were able to come for Janmashtami darshan. Yeah? Now, I mean, some people say, hey, maybe it's coincidence, you know, maybe it's coincidence. Anyway, she was saying that these things are happening all the time, you know. So Krishna's there all the time. He's doing so many magic tricks all the time, you know. But sometimes we see one or two of them, you know. So I was saying to this lady, I said, like, they've got two daughters, young daughters. So I said, just like you are doing so much for your daughters, you know. You're working so hard. You're maintaining the house. You're paying the mortgage. You are clothing them, feeding them, educating them, you're praying for them, they're doing so many arrangements that they don't see, you know. When you get them a teddy bear, you know, or something, or a new bicycle, they think, oh, now my parents are doing something for me. You know? But actually doing something. So Krishna is doing so much for all of us, but we don't see all of it. You know? But he cares. He's doing it because he loves us. You know? So I'm going to stop there. And if there's any questions or any comments, Mohan, you have anything to say from last night's visit?
I think it's just important to go out. You know.
Well, no, you're only saying that because it'll be the first time in 6 months you've been out.
You
went like outside the back gate and then like, ah, oh, fresh air at last.
No, it's like, you know, I could really see it with every single devotees we went to, yeah, just how happy they were, how ecstatic they were, you know, and you know, oftentimes when we're just in one place, yeah, we can take it for granted. So just going out, you experience the Krishna magic, and you're able to give the Krishna magic to others. And yeah, it really touched my heart personally, that just how, you know, I love what Donald said, yeah, it's like one thing that we're really missing is just devotee association. It's like, yeah, we can listen to the RTs online and we can listen to the programs, but we just need that personal connection, that personal time with devotees. So that's why it's really important that we go out and we give what we can. And I also remember Donald saying we need to become a pipe, you know, that Krishna is giving us his mercy like by allowing us to be here at the temple. So we go out and we distribute and share that with others.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, any other questions, comments, or corrections? Yeah. Prayarjan Prabhu. You read it out, you're giving the mic.
All right, okay.
So this is one for the cooks. Cooks, get ready for this one. If you've got the...
It's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Text 8. And it's Krishna, he's speaking and he's saying, I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrifices in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Mahatmas, and who have dedicated their lives and the results of their activities, and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. So he's saying there, anyone who cooks for the devotees, he relishes it more.
Wow, that's incredible.
Than the prasad offered by all the sacrifices, and even though it's the fire of the sacrifices, one of my mouths.
Beautiful. What's the reference again for that?
It's 3.16.8.
3.16.8, Srimad Bhagavatam. Eh?
Yeah.
Powerful. So that's why Sutapa's got a whole list of people that are inviting him to come for prasad at his house, at their house.
Yeah. Yeah.
The list is becoming bigger. So this house we went to, Aditi's house, she's saying, as soon as you get, she said, come in the house. I said, no, we can't come in the house. You know, she said, but we have to come in the house. I said, oh, if Sutapa won't let us out if we go in the house and again, you know. So, because of coronavirus, we have to be a little careful right now. She said, okay, then as soon as you're out and you're allowed to go into houses, make sure mine is the first house that you come to for prasadam. You know? I said, but there's a lot of people saying the same thing. You know, I said we'll have to maybe put all the names and addresses in a hat and then pick them out one.
Just to finish, Prabhupada's purport, if you remember this, 3.16.8. Look at the purport. It's amazing.
I'll read it today.
It's really relishable. It's perfect, wow. You know. And Prabhupada says some eye-opening things.
Does it say it with ghee? Yeah, you have to have ghee on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, you know, Prabhupada's explanation of this verse is just wonderful. So 3.16.8.
Yeah. What about the vegans? And there's no ghee for them. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Any comment, question, or correction? Or we end there? Okay, Ian Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the class. Really, really nice. I just had a question in regards to what Prabhupada was saying in the purport, where he quotes Bhaktisiddhanta and references him saying that, you know, the younger Brahman was doing it for the pleasure of the Lord. So I was just asking, you know, for us, at times we're doing services and, you know, it's either for our pleasure or at times we don't even like it. So how do you draw the line? Is it, should we be thinking more about us enjoying the service that we're doing for the Lord or just doing it as a matter of duty, like what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says about
it? Okay, so I'm trying to understand. You're asking whether we should be doing the service to please ourselves or to please the Lord.
No, of course. Normally say, so where do you draw the line? That you need to do something that you enjoy for the Lord, and at the same time, you need to do it as a matter of duty. So where do you draw the line?
Okay, so there are so many duties that are needed, right? So, you know, you might like photography and broadcasting or, you know, that kind of stuff. But there may be, you know, the kitchen needs clean, the pots need done, everything. So then we have to do what's necessary. And then also we have to find something that we actually, that the abilities that Krishna has given us, that ultimately we can focus on and develop that more and more and more. You know, so eventually, if whatever you're doing, like I was discussing with Mohan yesterday in the car, that whatever you're doing, if you realize that you're actually doing it to please Krishna, to please Guru and Krishna, and you actually give yourself to that service, actually it becomes pleasing to you also. It becomes pleasing. Like sometimes, oh, I've got to clean the toilet. Oh, I don't feel like cleaning the toilet, you know. But then, if you surrender to it, and you really do a nice job, you become happy, you know. But ultimately, you will get to do what you have ability in more and more and more. But like somebody will say, well, in Scotland, what they did was they did an experiment, you know. They said, well, you know, the Sankirtan, he said, okay, today everyone can do whatever they want to do. They did that one experiment. So they said, okay, so devotees don't have to go out on Sankirtan, or you can do whatever you want. Everyone, I mean, within the realms of the four regulated principles, you know. So then, oh, it is, yeah. Excellent. So, then what? The boiler was not working now. So, so it's many Sankirtan devotees decided, okay, we're not going to go on Sankirtan, we just, you know, sit in the field and do whatever we want or do this and that. So then they said, oh, actually, the cooks decided to do whatever they want as well. They don't want to cook neither. They said, in fact, the cook said they only want to cook for those that are going out. So anyway, emergencies are there, and then also we have to, duties are there. Sometimes we have to do things that we don't particularly like to do, but if we remember who we're trying to do them for, then it really helps, you know. And then eventually we become purified because it's only our mind that's stopping us from doing. Then if we do it, even if it's something we don't particularly like, but we get into it, we do it with the right motivation, then we become blissful. And eventually, as time goes on, then you develop more in the areas that Krishna has given you ability in, you know. That is that answer your question? Okay, we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamitam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnav Sangha Vaishnav Seva ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Haribol.